On the day Enzo died, he talked to Zoe, joked with her about her missing the dinner she was supposed to have with his family, and promised to send her a poem he had written for her. Then he told her he loved her and heard her tell him she loved him. Then he sent her the poem and sat down with his family to dinner. When the emergency alert came, the Gugino family, Father Bruno, Mother Natalie, daughters Maria and Katharina, and son Enzo, went together into the attack shelter Bruno and Enzo had made just a week before and sat together close, holding each other and waiting for the all clear. On the day Enzo died, he knew he was loved. He knew he was loved by his mother and father, who, like everyone knew, never stopped loving each other until the very moment they died. Their love for each other became their love for him and for their daughters. He knew he was loved by his sisters, who he cared for when they were small and when he was small. He knew he was loved by his best friend, who he never stopped getting out of trouble and who he never stopped getting into trouble with. And he knew he was loved by Zoe, by me, who he called his love and who said the words back to him. Enzo lived a life of love from the moment he was born until the moment he died. So many people go through life without love, wanting love, hoping for love, hungering for more of it than they have, missing love when it was gone. Enzo never had to go through that, would never have to. All he knew all his life was love. I have to think it was enough. It would have to be now. I spent the day with Gretchen and Magdy and all of Enzo's friends, of whom there were so many, crying and laughing and remembering him. And then at some point I couldn't take any more, because everyone had begun to treat me like Enzo's widow, and though in a way I felt like I was, I didn't want to have to share that with anyone. It was mine, and I wanted to be greedy for it for just a little while. Gretchen saw I had reached some sort of breaking point, and walked me back to her room and told me to get some rest and that she'd check on me later. Then she gave me a fierce hug, kissed me on the temple, and told me she loved me and closed the door behind me. I lay there in Gretchen's bed and tried not to think, and did a pretty good job of it until I remembered Enzo's poem, waiting for me in my mail queue. Gretchen had put my PDA on her desk, and I walked over, took the PDA, and sat back down on the bed, and pulled up my mail queue and saw the mail from Enzo. I reached to press the screen to retrieve it, and then called up the directory instead. I found the folder titled Enzo Dodgeball, and opened it and started playing the files, watching as Enzo flailed his way around the dodgeball court, taking hits to the face and tumbling to the ground with unbelievable comic timing. I watched until I laughed so hard that I could barely see, and had to put the PDA down for a minute to concentrate on the simple act of breathing in and out. When I had mastered that again, I picked up the PDA, called up the mail queue, and opened the mail from Enzo. Zoe, here you are. You'll have to imagine the arm waving for now, but the live show is coming. That is, after we have pie. Pie. Belong. You said I belong to you, and I agree. But the quality of that belonging is a question of some importance. I do not belong to you like a purchase, something ordered and sold and delivered in a box to be put up and shown off to friends and admirers. I would not belong to you that way, and I know you would not have me so. I will tell you how I belong to you. I belong to you like a ring on a finger, a symbol of something eternal. I belong to you like a heart in a chest, beating in time to another heart. I belong to you like a word on the air, sending love to your ear. I belong to you like a kiss on your lips, put there by me in the hope of more to come. And most of all, I belong to you, because in where I hold my hopes, I hold the hope that you belong to me. It is a hope I unfold for you now like a gift. Belong to me like a ring, and a heart, and a word, and a kiss, and like a hope held close. I will belong to you like all these things, and also something more, something we will discover between us, and will belong to us alone. You said I belong to you, and I agree. Tell me you belong to me too. I wait for your word, and hope for your kiss. Love you, Enzo. I love you too, Enzo. I love you. I miss you. 21. The next morning I found out Dad was under arrest. It's not exactly arrest, Dad said at our kitchen table, having his morning coffee. I've been relieved of my position as colony leader and have to travel back to Phoenix Station for an inquiry, so it's more like a trial. And if that goes badly, then I'll be arrested. Is it going to go badly? I asked. Probably, Dad said. They don't usually have an inquiry if they don't know how it's going to turn out, and if it was going to turn out well, they wouldn't bother to have it. He sipped his coffee. What did you do? I asked. I had my own coffee, loaded up with cream and sugar, which was sitting ignored in front of me. I was still in shock about Enzo, and this really wasn't helping. I tried to talk General Gaw out of walking into the trap we set for him in his fleet, Dad said. When we met, I asked him not to call his fleet, begged him not to, actually. It was against my orders. I was told to engage in non-essential conversation with him, as if you can have non-essential conversation with someone who is planning to take over your colony and whose entire fleet you're about to blow up. Why did you do it? I asked. Why did you try to give General Gaw an out? I don't know, Dad said. Probably because I didn't want the blood of all those crews on my hands. You weren't the one who set off the bombs, I said. I don't think that matters, do you? Dad said. He set down his cup. I was still part of the plan. I was still an active participant. I still bear some responsibility. I wanted to know that, at the very least, I tried in some small way to avoid so much bloodshed. I guess I was just hoping there might be a way to do things other than the way that ends up with everyone getting killed. I got up out of my chair and gave my dad a big hug. He took it and then looked at me, a little surprised, when I sat back down. Thank you, he said. I'd like to know what that was about. It was me being happy that we think alike, I said. I can tell we are related, even if it's not biologically. I don't think anyone would doubt we think alike, dear, Dad said. Although given that I'm about to get royally shafted by the Colonial Union, I'm not sure it's such a good thing for you. I think it is, I said. And biology or not, I think we're both smart enough to figure out that things are not going well for anyone, Dad said. This is a real big mess, nor are we out of it. Amen, I said. How are you, sweetheart? Dad asked. Are you going to be okay? I opened my mouth to say something and closed it again. I think right now I want to talk about anything else in the world besides how I'm doing, I said, finally. All right, Dad said. He started talking about himself then. Not because he was an egotist, but because he knew listening to him would help me take my mind off my own worries. I listened to him talk on without worrying too much about what he said.